Alleluia. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus went up the mountain and summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12: Simon, whom he named Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, whom he named Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. The Gospel of the Lord. As we continue this 3-week course led by the letter to the Hebrews, which allows us to hit the spiritual reset button and appreciate all that God has given us, today we get to a new part of the letter to the Hebrews, in which God's speaking to us about the new covenant God is going to make, the new and eternal covenant in which we enter through all that Jesus has done in the Mass. And using the words of the prophet Jeremiah, the author of the letter to the Hebrews says that what Jeremiah has prophesied has come to fulfillment in Christ. And what's the big change? Letter of the Hebrews says that this new covenant is not going to be like the one that God made with the Israelites when he led them forth from Egypt. The covenant that he would be establishing with the house of Israel, he said, first with them through Christ and then with the whole world, is one in which he's going to put his law not on stone tablets like he did with Moses at the top of Mount Sinai, but that he would write it upon their hearts, place his laws in their minds, and there's going to be an I-thou relationship with the Lord. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And one of the consequences of this is that they will not have to teach each other, know the Lord, for all shall know him, from the tiniest to the biggest, from the least to the great. And he'll show his mercy. He'll forgive their evil doing and remember their sins no more. What does this mean? Many times we try to conceptualize it, say that God is going to come and by the law of the Holy Spirit, as the Catechism would say, almost inscribe in our hearts his law, the way God miraculously inscribed the stone tablets. No, God is going to write in our hearts because the author is going to come into our hearts. The old covenant, there was a temple in which people went out and worshiped the Lord on the outside. God was outside of them, and they were doing external worship. Their hearts tried to correspond to what their physical deeds were doing, but there was an external aspect of this. We see it when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, of how he was trying to take the external worship of his contemporaries and bring it on the inside. It's not so much not committing adultery in the flesh, don't commit it in your heart. It's not murdering somebody on the outside, it's hating somebody on the inside, constantly trying to take it within. And Jesus would come and he would change the locus of the worship of God from the temple built in Jerusalem to himself, and then he would enter into us so that we would be able to worship God in spirit and truth within. The author himself would come and dwell in our hearts, constantly writing in every moment His own will. And we would be able to know Him. We would be able to hear Him. Because kindness and truth would meet on the inside. We would be able to hear Him whispering to us in that inner organ of sensitivity we call the conscience. Be able to follow Him in every moment so that there would be an accord between all that God has announced and what God is Himself echoing within. That would be the essence of the new covenant. In today's gospel, which we have to remember came before the letter of the Hebrews was written, we see Jesus already doing that. He went up the mountain where He had His own communion with the Father. He prayed. And then He came down from the mountain. He summoned those whom He wanted. There was always this desire. And they, with freedom, came to Him. And He appointed 12 whom He named apostles, those whom He would send out. It was a twofold summons. That's so important for us if we want to understand the basic aspect of our faith, to get these two verbs in Mark. First, purpose of the summons, that they might be with Him. So that what God had prophesied through Jeremiah, that the letter of the Hebrews talks about, could be theirs. That they would have this interior communion with the great lawgiver, where justice and truth were meeting on the inside, so that they could be with Him as disciples in loving communion. And so that with Him, they could be sent out. Wouldn't be sent out externally from Him, apart from Him, but united with Him, sent out with His authority to preach, to cast out the power of the devil. Just as the Lord has called Simon, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, and the other apostles, so He has called Sister Jean and Sister Mercy Marie and all of us here to be with Him, so that united with Him, He could then send us out. He draws us here to be with Him, not just on the outside, but to be with Him with the entirety of our being, so that becoming temples united with Him, He can go out through us in the middle of the world and carry out His work through us, casting out the demons of today, allowing our own very body language to preach in a way that can convert, and through us drawing others to be with Him, so that He can send them out with us. The martyrs are those who show us these truths in their most splendid form. Even in the midst of terrible sufferings, they never lost their communion with the Lord, but they gave witness to it. And in the middle of their sufferings, they were proclaiming the truth and casting out one of the greatest temptations of the devil, which is our fear of suffering and our fear of death. They were saying, with every ounce of their being, that they were not afraid of death, because they recognized that if Jesus were crucified and then rose, they too, no matter what they would have to endure, would rise in such a way in which they would be with Him forever, and to be able to continue from their place in heaven to share in His work of the salvation of the human race. Saint Sebastian and Pope Saint Fabian were two who continued to serve us in this way, inspiring us, no matter what we have to endure, to unite those circumstances with the Lord, so that through those very circumstances we might proclaim the truth that Jesus is alive, that he's with us, and that all the evil of the world can't suppress what he's doing. The end of this prophecy of Jeremiah, it says, they shall teach. They shall not teach, know the Lord, because all shall know him, from the least to the greatest. And that knowledge, as we know, is not a knowledge about the Lord. It's this personal friendship. Conhecer in Portuguese and Spanish, conhecer in French, conoscere in Latin and Italian, not saber or savoir or sapere. That there's this intimate knowledge of friends. In fact, there's an intimate spousal union, which is what the Lord calls us to, so that we can go out as members of his body. The consummation of that spousal union happens here. This is where kindness and truth shall meet. This is where the Lord of Lords unites himself with us by name, by will, and at the end of Mass, sends us out to preach the gospel to all nations, knowing that he is with us always until the end of time. May we respond to this truth the way Fabian Sebastian did. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.